man. Not man, Modish man. We're Modish Marmon.
Yep.
We're Modish men, but this is about magazine on RTR.
Yakai, good morning. This is RTR FM, Modish Mag. Hello, Jody.
Hello, Jim. How are you?
Hey, where you been, my girl?
I've been everywhere. I've been to Melbourne.
Wow.
Got family over there. Saw my grandson. First time in a few months because they moved over there, my oldest daughter.
Yeah.
Saw Nick Cave in concert on Friday night.
Whoa.
That was interesting. He's still pretty out there at the age of 67, doing well.
Wow.
And back to stormy Perth.
Wow.
It's nice. But my weekend wasn't anywhere as busy as yours. Now, I know that there was the big screening at Luna in Leaderville on Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock, Genocide in the Wildflower State. Now, here on the Modish Mag program, we've been talking about this
for weeks and weeks,
and rightfully so. It was a sellout, Jim.
It was. Well, not quite. I mean, we gave away complimentary tickets, and that's really annoying when you give complimentary tickets away and they don't front, even though they commit themselves a number of times. But that comes with the turf, eh? But look, welcome back.
Thank you.
It's been a while since I've seen you.
Yeah, it's been ages. And Tonji's been doing a great job here in the studio.
Yes. He's getting, he's growing with the program. He's off today and down in Manjum up tomorrow, and he's on his land issues area. So he's performing quite well there. And I guess as executive producer of Genocide in the Wildflower State with Alan Carter, we're all kind of overwhelmed by what happened last Sunday.
And look, you know, I guess there's always new listeners to the Modish Mag program as time evolves, but Genocide in the Wildflower State is a really important screening for people to see, and they are going to get the opportunity to see more of it. But it's all around our stolen generations and started here in Western Australia with just a series of talks and meetings.
Well, it is. It is around genocide and eugenics, but I think it's broader than that too, Jody. I mean, it's not just about those that were removed and incarcerated into these dreadful missions and other institutions. It's about the broader community and I guess implications around that, which are too dreadful to talk about. And that's something that needs to be considered when you're talking around, from our point of view, truth, justice and healing. So you've got to have truth to understand what justice is required, reparation and compensation and redress, and then you can consider healing. And, you know, as I've said many times on this program and anybody else who wants to listen, you can't have reconciliation unless you have truth, justice and healing. And I'm just so pleased that I'm working with an organisation that have a reconciliation action plan. So, I mean, they understand the issues more than anyone, I would think, and up there with being in tune with what we're about. In fact, we had a private screening for RTR family, and that was well attended. I'm not sure of how they saw that or what the thinking is now of some of our family. I would imagine it would have been a bit hard to handle, and even last Sunday there were people there that you thought would have been au fait with it, but no, they were pretty broken.
Oh, this month is National Reconciliation Week, and of course, Sorry Day, National Sorry Day coming up on the 26th of May. So it's a really important time for us all to think about the true history of the country. The exciting news is that this is a really important documentary, but it is going to be seen more widely, isn't it?
Well, we've had agreeance this week from politicians in WA Parliament. So that's a bipartisan approach to thinking about what this is all about. I mean, the campaign is to get a compensation or redress program in WA, but we're also advocating for a national one because there is no national one. Each state's got their own individual redress programs, and whether that's really worthy, it's questionable because I suppose for a lot of First Nation people, if someone makes an offer, they'll take it. I mean, the poverty and dysfunction that's in our communities. So people say, well, that's better than nothing. We can't expect any more. So that's the issue for me. And I've seen so many dreadful situations where people have obtained redress for the issues as a child. You know, the Royal Commission of Historical Sex Abuse of Children is really quite damning in itself. But you have to think about that and really what is compensation. And I've got other views about compensation, which I won't share with my listeners right now, but, you know, compensation isn't just about money.
And interesting that Western Australia and Queensland are the only states that don't offer this compensation for our stolen generations. I mean, there's a lot of parallels you can actually draw between the two states from my perspective in terms of racism and the way our First Nations peoples are treated.
Oh, too true. Well, I'm only reminded of the 1967 referendum, and you wouldn't remember that because you weren't around.
Yes, I was.
I think I was 13.
Yes, I was.
Well,
true.
The biggest no votes in this country were WA and Queensland, and look at the recent referendum back in October, whenever the date was. It's sort of gone into oblivion now. It's sort of like a smoky haze. The biggest no votes were, again, Queensland and Western Australia. So they're obviously issues we have to deal with, and we're going to talk some more about that. I've got a guest on the show that hasn't appeared on the show. We've had some recordings of the video itself. Gary Ryder and Gail Yorkshire and Dallas Phillips, to name a few. Tim Flowers will be on the show today talking about his experience with this documentary. And this is something that needs to be heard, because the way he's dealt with his own life, addictions, and you got to call it redemption of himself and how he feels about other people now. And I guess that is resilience. It's resilience about people that have done it tough, because he talks about finding family again and not feeling like he belonged, and feeling more in tune with other incarcerated people. So they formed their own families. Brothers and sisters were mission mob. And when you think about the size of some of these missions, we're only talking small mission, Marybank, or Carrollup was way bigger, which was the precursor to Marybank. So the families and the connections that stolen people have is very, very strong.
And you know, look, the policies of the past are absolutely evil, Jim. You know, siblings growing up with siblings that they didn't know were siblings.
Yeah.
People being torn away from parents, never to see them again, forming family with the kids they grew up with. These are all life-changing events that the strength and the resilience that comes through from the people that appear in Genocide in the Wildflower State is just extraordinary, you know.
Well, I need to remind my listeners and that, you know, it's taken 10 years, really, for these people to appear in front of a camera. You know, we talked about it before with these people, damaged people, but now they've actually expressed themselves in front of a camera, which is healing for them.
Empowering.
And even last Sunday we had some amazing women there who talked about their life in missions, and it's really quite powerful stuff. I facilitated the Q&A with Professor Fiona Stanley and a few of the brilliant people that featured in the documentary, but also Frank Rikovich, the
filmmaker.
Yeah, the filmmaker, who's famous for Exile in the Kingdom and Habits of New Norcia. And I think one of his early pieces was Black Magic around Noongar footballers in the southwest. So he, just amazing. So, look, we are going to repeat the launch on the 10th of May in Albany. And you know, road trip. So we've got listeners down Albany, Menang country on Great Southern FM. So it's I'm looking forward to that. It's as I've said, this was a sellout last Sunday. The traction we've got, Catholic Education, 100 staff want to go to the Luna and view it and have a yarning session after. There's you know, a lot of potential now. This afternoon going to see child health and adolescence people in Belmont. And, I think going to Sydney for a day to talk to some legal supporters who want to support the campaign. So it's fly over Tuesday and back Wednesday morning. It's crazy. But it'll be worth it.
It will be.
To see how people can learn and grow from truth-telling, it's been quite amazing. And, I mean, I was going to say tickled pink, but you can't be tickled pink when you're black, enough. I was tickled pink from the point of view of, I asked people to stand because part of our logo, Narelda Jacobs, says, will you stand with us? And I said, well, stand. Well, nobody stood, of course. But after the documentary, someone asked a question and her father was stolen and she was crying and she said, okay, Jim has asked us earlier to stand with him. Let's stand with him now. So 450 people in theatre stood up and I was just blown away.
Yeah.
Blown away. So we're talking genocide in the Wildflower State and RTRFM has been 100% about this documentary. And if you missed it last Sunday, tune in to the Luna Leederville Cinema and there's plenty of seats available at the moment for Reconciliation Week starting on the 27th of May. So get along and have a quizzy, squizzy to see what I've been talking about forever. It seemed like I've been talking about it for a long time, Jodie. And you have too. And your place of work are keen to have a screening. And that's going to be, an interesting part of it where you have a more private, personable sit down with people to have a talk to, 50, 60
I think
60
so
people.
As well. And, in at the Aboriginal Legal Service, we've got 100 staff alone in our Perth office, but the people that are coming through our doors are some of the most disadvantaged peoples in the state. They don't come to the ALS because they want to. It's sort of the last stop before prison in a lot of places, but it will be very interesting because that legacy of being stolen, how it carries over from generation to generation. These are disadvantaged mob who use our services. And so it's so beneficial for our lawyers, our court officers, our administration staff to realise, the effects of being stolen and how that can result in people needing our services.
For sure. Look, if you just tuned in, 0405 921 921 is our text line. If you are feeling like you need to make a comment or would like to go and see the production, and maybe you've just heard enough.
Or if you've seen it, we'd love to know what you thought.
Yeah. I mean, I'm amazed that people employed at Luna Theatres, when I spoke to them, said, oh, I know your voice. So we've got listeners from listeners listening to RTR and this program. So I'm... I constantly get reminded of how people enjoy the show and enjoy RTRFM 92.1. So we're privileged too to be talking to our people that are listening to Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM, Minang Country, my country down in Albany. Let's go to a song because we want to talk some more about this until we're blue or black in the face or maybe even pink.
Ah, beautiful song. Books Kid and Talking to Myself.
I do that often, actually.
I was going to say, Jim, you would talk to yourself because your brain must be going a million miles. We've been talking about genocide in the Wildflower State and we're going to continue talking about it. But I just wanted to mention a couple of productions that are on in Perth this week.
Well, before you go, though, Books Kid he featured in the Noongar Opera that was in town recently, sell out too at Her Majesty's Theatre. It was a sellout. An amazing thing, all in language. So,
I was there last night. There was a production from a Queensland mob called Silence and focusing a lot about treaty, but lots of humour in there as well. It just went for 1 hour, but it was fantastic. Is this the Commonwealth of Australia? Yes, this is your landlord speaking. It was great. And off again tonight, The Other Side of Me is on at the State Theatre, the Heath Ledger Theatre tonight, and that's from the Gary Lang Northern Territory Dance Company. So both of those productions are on for the final night in Perth.
Tonight. Yeah. Two showings. No?
Two different plays, one at Heath Ledger and one at His Majesty's. One is called Silence, the other is called The Other Side of Me. But this one tonight is all about Stolen Generations as well and follows the success of their show from 2 years ago called WANA, the Northern Territory Dance Company, offering a powerful, moving dance duet that navigates the limits of physical expression and translates into the dance the true life story of a young Aboriginal man born in the 1960s in the Northern Territory Territory and adopted by a white English family and raised in a remote hamlet in the United Kingdom. And drawing on a collection of personal letters and poems, it offers insights into the mind of a man struggling to re-evaluate his life in light of his and First Nations Australia's origins on the other side of the world.
Wow. Mm. That sounds really inviting. I mean, if you can't wait to get to the Lunar on the 27th of May. This is an important story to consider. Again, we're talking stolen generation issues and talking about how widespread it was. I do know people that were taken and sent overseas. In fact, I know many that were taken from country and even stolen from hospitals, Jodie, and taken overseas. There are people in Italy now and people in Holland that were taken and decided to go back to Holland anyway because they just couldn't understand their own dysfunction and the way things were happening in Australia. So yeah. There's a lot of that.
Yeah, and you know, I remember many years ago now interviewing a local family who were being reconnected with sister, same story, taken away, taken to England and being reunited, and everyone met up in Kings Park in Perth. Yeah. And she had the broadest English accent, same family, looked similar, but just different worlds apart from geographic, you know. It's amazing.
Yes, well, we can, I guess, acknowledge and understand those people. As I say, big shout out to Wendy Fifananup, who seek some advice about her sons that came home from Holland. Now, can you imagine Wendy was stolen herself and then her children were taken from her by the husband then, probably illegally, to Holland. And now they're in their 60s. They came home to see their mum.
She the artist?
Mm.
Got one of her paintings.
Yes. And, they visited the place where their mother was at Roland's Mission. But then chose to go back to Holland. And there's, you know, these are similar stories of people. I mean, Leonie Pope was taken to Wales. Levon Ennis was taken to London. And they both returned to Australia now to reconnect with their families. And they're both well and truly in their 50s. So there's a big, you know, let's face it, a big slight on this country by having children stolen from hospitals as babies. And then, you know, as children grew up and living with family, we now know that it, you know, welfare was able to use that excuse for dysfunctional families when in fact it was all about breed out the colour. So we had a system of breed out the colour in this country and the White Australia policy.
Soothe the dying pillow.
Yeah, soothe the dying pillow. And eugenics was practiced in Australia way before what they did to the, you know, millions of Jewish people. The Nazi machine did that and in fact, I spoke at a forum this week with a gentleman of Jewish background who's an academic from University of Technology, Sydney, and I got up and spoke before him, and I just had to say there's synergies between our communities. Unthinking, really, but when you look at the reality of what happened to so many people from that era and what the Nazis did to them. I mean, it's when you think about it, really, there's millions and millions of people went through that system. And I heard a figure of 70 million once, but the people are saying 6 million, but the repercussions around the world of what the Nazis did and, you know, what happened in Australia is way different. Mm. Probably similarities to a degree because more of a native settlement and Carola native settlement, the first two native settlements in Australia, one 1915, one 1918. We described them and our people described them as concentration camps. So the reality is there are some similarities and probably find that a lot of Jewish people around Australia are very sympathetic, but as we learnt in the discussions this week with called cultural and linguistically different people, there's a lot of indifference about what called people or ethnic people think about first Australians. Lot to learn, and one of the comments was made by someone of Indian background who said, well, they took your kids, what if they take our kids? And that was, you know, you talk about the dominant culture and, you know, 51% of, I think 51% of West Australians are from migrant backgrounds. So there's a lot to be learnt and a lot of lack of understanding with broader Australia. And that's what the Genocide in the Wildflower State is all about, is telling the truth as it is. As I said earlier, I liken this to Bruce Pascoe's Dark Emu, because what Bruce did was he commented and researched, you know, white research, white comments, white politician speak, research that was carried out years ago by early settlers. And what we've done here is look at the Hansard, what politicians have said, what they've quoted, how they wanted the blacks removed from their towns, et cetera, and how do we want a million blacks in Australia, you know, and how we can breed out First Nation people in three generations. Well, sorry, A.O. Neville, you failed.
Yeah,
and what we've got to do now is inform people of that, their history, Australian history. It's not just a black thing, but it's a white thing too. Learn your history, appreciate it, and understand what the difficulties are. And, you know, we'll talk some more, but I will get Tim Flowers on the program shortly. He featured in the production, Brave Man, and I think all of those people that featured, including the two that were guests on last Sunday, big shout-out to Gail Yorkshire and Dallas Phillips for their bravery around talking to 450 people in a theatre about what happened to them, you know, a great effort by them. And, you know, you have to wonder sometimes, you know, are we re-traumatising them, or is it healing for them? And I think it's a bit of both. Mm. I think it's a bit of both, that they're offloading to strangers who came because they probably wanted to, or maybe were preaching to the converted, but also in expressing in such a way, they must feel better about it, even though it does cause some heartache. And, you know, people have to really take stock and be brave and probably get themselves through the day before they can get to a 3 o'clock viewing, you know. So I know one of the people had to drive down from the bush, and I know that, you know, probably had to pop a pill to calm herself for the day. So that was a really brave thing to do. So it's, I don't know. And I think for me now that we've lit the fire, there's going to be opportunities for people to add to their story and really enlighten the world as it is. So I'm looking forward to the future. I'm looking forward to educating people and looking forward to see their response, because it is a big one, and I think people have to understand their history for us to move on. As I said, truth, justice and healing, and that's what this is all about. This is Moorich Mag on RTR FM, Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM, Minang Country. Let's go to a song. Emily
Weimara from Top End and Midnight Blue here on the Moorich Mag program. Jim and Jody in the studio with you this Thursday. Great to have your company here on RTR FM.
Well, when one of the guests of Genocide in the Wildflower State is Tim Flowers. He's online at the moment. Tim, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we've got a bad line. So where are you? You're not in the washhouse, are you?
No, I'm sitting back in the bus, but it's raining.
Oh, it's raining. Oh, OK. Well, let's see if we can progress the interview. Tim, welcome to Moorich Mag on RTR FM, Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM, Albany. Yeah, it looks like it's raining. It's raining in Katanning, eh?
Yes, pouring down.
OK. We might have to make it quick then. Tim, you've featured in Genocide in the Wildflower State, and it's screening on the 10th of May in Albany at the Albany Town Hall. How did you feel about talking to camera about your experience about being taken away and put in a mission? I'll leave the question quite broad, but you presented really well and you had a lot to say. How did you feel about being part of that production?
Personally, myself, it's a privilege to be on the documentary and to, like, share my story to educate people in the wider community about what took place all those years ago, and it's important that we get our stories out there so that people are aware of what happened in those days. And like, because many years ago we didn't have a voice.
No.
We was out of mind and out of sight.
Mm.
Whenever we complained, we were told to shut up, you know. We were told, like, no one loves you, you're here because, you know, we all got all different stories and they're
yeah.
devastating, like, you know, your parents don't care about you and all that. And mm. so that added more weight to our already tough challenge as children.
Mm.
You know, so we went through all those years without being hurt. And, you know, who would have thought way back then that a day would come like this where, you know, we'd be able to get up and to use an opportunity now to share your views on the history that you've been through, you know, and all
yeah.
the challenges.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a real privilege. And, you know, to, like before, I wouldn't talk to anybody. I was ashamed. I was ashamed, you know.
Yeah.
But once I started meeting up with, like, people like yourself, Jim, and Curtin University, you know, one thing I realised was, hey, I don't need a script to tell people
no.
what happened in our history, you know, so it just comes straight out from the heart.
Good on you.
You know? So, yeah, it's a privilege to share with other people, and also, thank them also for wanting to listen to our stories as well, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you've just tuned in, this is RTRFM 92.1, Mooritj Mag and Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM. Our guest today is Tim Flowers from way down in Katanning, and he featured in our documentary that was a set out last Sunday at the Lunar Theatre, and we're having a screening on the 10th of May along with other screenings at the Lunar Theatre. I neglected to ask, though, Tim, who's your mob and where you're from?
So I'm from Narangra. That's located about 300 kilometres southeast of Perth in the Central Great Southern.
Right.
My mob is the Gorang people.
Good.
And, yep, so that's the Noongar people of the Great Southern.
Good. Yes, my mother's country. Look, Tim, it's great to have you on the program, and we've got a tough line. It's raining down south. Can we just finish off by asking the question, so where to from here for you? You've expressed and, I guess, spilled your guts, really, about what has happened to you and what has happened to so many people. Where do you see the future now that this truth's been told, and how will it impact on you?
Well, now that the door's open for for us Indigenous children who've been taken, there's still a lot that we can achieve. Yes, people are starting to sit up, listen and take notice, but there's still more people that are out there that still, you know, maybe want to hear and learn about our history. Like, for example, where I come from in Katanning, Marybank is located 15 to 20 k's out of
yes.
Katanning. And there are people in Katanning that never heard of the Stolen Generation, and Marybank is practically right under their nose.
Yeah.
So, and they've never heard about it. So there's still a long journey to go, but the positive about this is, number one, we're able to talk about our history now, and there's nothing stopping us or holding us back. And also, all those years ago, we went through these challenges on our own. But now, we want people to walk together with us.
Right.
You know?
Right.
We got a dark past, but we're going to try and have a bright future.
Right.
And with that, you know, so we all walk together, you know, and through my journey, since the doors opened for us to have a voice, people have got on board.
Yeah, true.
With us, some for the rest, you know. So there's still there's still a long way to go.
Yep.
But the journey is more, so to speak, positive than what it was way back then.
Tim, normally Tony Hanton or Nick Abraham is on the show as co-host. Today I've got a Jodie Hoffman, who Nunga lady from Adelaide, who comes into the show every now and again when the other marmen take off or do whatever they're doing. Jodie, meet Tim.
Yeah, hi Tim. I'm Gana Narunga from South Australia, down on the York Peninsula. Nice to meet you. I was incredibly moved by genocide in the Wildflower State, and just the strength that you all showed in sharing your stories. It was very generous of you. There was one thing you've said today, though, that I just wanted to ask you about. You said you never really talked about it because you were ashamed. Can I ask what you were ashamed of?
Well, like, for many years as children, like, being young, the most important time for teaching is when a child is young. So can you imagine when we was young, getting all the negative feedbacks, you know, getting the way that we was treated negatively, you know? And things like when we would get racist remarks at school and go back and report it to our white parents, they would say, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. How wrong they were, you know? At that time, we thought that was our defence against racism. But, you know, we learned later down the track that words have a powerful effect on people, you know. And so that was all wrong teachings. And, like, we was silent all those years. And, like, I think I might have shared with Jim that it took, like, I've been with my wife for 30 years, but it took me a couple of years to open up to her, you know. And so it was like a shame process, you know, because after we left the mission, the challenges were still there. We had to readjust back into our community, you know. It was like the missionary said, oh, good luck for the rest of your life. You know, so we had to go through another challenge on our own, readjusting back into our community and with our people, you know. So there were, and also, a lot of alcohol and drug abuse, you know, at the time, in my case. And, like, I was ashamed to talk to anybody, you know. But since I've stopped the alcohol and the drugs and started getting up and looking, like, challenges can make us or break us, you know. If I'd have kept drinking alcohol and doing drugs, I believe it would have broke me.
Yeah.
But I got up, I chucked all that alcohol and drugs in, got up, stood on my own 2 feet, got my job, got the job, got my house, you know, my wife and I have been together for over 30 years. So it's making positive decisions through challenging times, you know, that determine what makes you or breaks you. And like I said, you know, yeah, I was ashamed, but now, since I've started opening up about my story and sharing with other people, and, you know, you find that the people who are listening, you know, they come up, they give you a hug, you know, to, like, thank you for telling us your story. I didn't know that this ever happened, you know, and then you make new friends. And so everything is, you know, makes you want to share with more people, you know.
Definitely found your voice, Tim Flowers. It's awesome. And I think the words that you used beautifully summed it up when you said dark past and bright future.
Yes.
Tim, we've got a better line now. I'm not going to let you go. Tim, I know, you know, some of your story too. I've heard what you've been through. Tell us about that. Tell the listeners about that poison bottle.
Yes. So when I left the mission, being in the mission is like being in a bubble, okay? So your life is like, from the mission to the school, back home to the mission. White people was watching you at all times. When I left the mission, there was no one there to watch me, you know? No one to tell me, hey, that's wrong, don't do that, you know? And, like, there were still members of our community that was still into the Christian values. And then there was another part of the Noongar community that was into the alcohol and the drugs. Well, I took that path, and I went off the rails. So at the age of 15, when my mate gave me a drink of beer, it was the most horrible taste I ever tasted in my life. So that was a warning to me, don't touch it. But when I turned 18, someone very close to me said, you're a man now, have a drink. So when I had a drink of a stubby, from there I became an alcoholic and my life spiraled right to the gutter. And thankfully, not beyond. But during that time, I drank methylated spirits. And only the wrapping on the bottle said methylated spirits, but the bottle said poison. But I didn't care. I drank it. So there was all these challenges. Like anything that had alcohol in it, I would drink. You know, so alcohol had a very powerful grip on me. Praise the Lord, I met a Noongar woman in Noongar that did not drink and did not do drugs. And she stuck with me through all my challenging times. And we are still together today. You know, and I've got to acknowledge her for... you know, not walking out on me, but sticking with me. And we're still together today.
Good.
Yeah.
So. Tim, it's been a pleasure listening to you, and I share the pain with you. Proud of you for what you've done. RTR listeners, I'm sure, and management here want to say congratulations on your journey and how you've depicted yourself in this documentary. So we praise you and wish you very well in the future, and looking forward to seeing you in Albany when we launch it at the Albany Town Hall. Tim, thanks for being on the show.
Yep, no worries, and thanks for having me.
Oh, Tim, by the way, thanks, this Tim. Afternoon, have a listen to the podcast. Go online to RTRFM and Moorich Mag and make sure Dina has a listen too. Thanks, Tim. Yep. Real pleasure.
Yep.
Thanks, matey. We're going to go to a song.
Thank you. Yep.
Thank you for tuning in to Moorich Mag. That was Archie Roach. He's a real icon in our industry, the late Archie Roach. And, 20th anniversary of Bring Them Home Report, we brought him down to Mount Lawley and he appeared at the Astor to very loving Stolen Generation people. House full, and there was so much love in the room, Jodie.
Oh, look, he was just an extraordinary man, as was the beautiful Ruby Hunter, also no longer with us. What a beautiful, gentle couple that they were, and sharing their incredible stories, some very sad, through the gift of music. And he was just... I just remember back to those early days, and I think in the old WAMA days, the old WA Aboriginal Media Association days, when we were working out of 176 Wellington Street in Perth, which was the old Native Welfare building, and it was one of the first vinyl records that we got that wasn't country music for the Saturday Night Request show. And just such a gentleman, and dearly missed those two, really dearly missed. Shout out to our regular listeners and our new listeners here on the Moorich Mag program. We love bringing this program to you on Thursdays. Sometimes, you know, get into the studio and go, now, what are we going to talk about today? And by the time, you know, we've kind of had a bit of a yarn, it's nearly time to say goodbye. But I did want to give a shout out to some listeners who have taken the time to text into us this morning. G'day, Anita, and you've messaged us and said, thank you and big love to Jim and the team. I listened regularly and saw the screening of the documentary on Sunday with my partner. I was affected, shocked and educated in a way that I haven't known about history before. I'm telling everyone I know about it and sharing info as much as I can, and I'm so glad that Luna is screening it again. So much respect for the survivors to speak out. And look, that's so true, isn't it? The strength, and you know, Tim Flowers just then talking about it was a privilege, and there's no way he's going to stop talking now. He said, you know, the time has come now that people are ready to listen. Also, another listener, thanks, Jim. I was at Luna on Sunday and I thought the night was beautifully balanced. A film that I give 4.3 out of 5.
Should have been 5.
4.3 out of 5.
What's wrong with that woman?
And another one as well. Amazing. Everyone needs to listen to your show. Thank you. And, you know, quite often in radio, the phone only rings or people only text if you've done something wrong. So to get those beautiful texts, it warms my heart, and as does Tim Flowers, who said it was a privilege to be able to appear on the documentary, share his stories, educate people about what took place and get the stories out there. Before he didn't have a voice, we were out of mind and out of sight. Well, not anymore.
Can I remind listeners too that in Western Australia, 57%, probably 58% now, of Aboriginal people in Western Australia are either stolen and or descendants. The biggest biggest data in the country, and that was purely because Breed Out the Colour Policy, 1930 to 1970, was introduced in Western Australia before any other state, courtesy of the ex-former Chief Protector A.O. Neville, who resided at 57 Murray Street. And that's been my office for 8 years.
I was going to ask you about that before, but I didn't want to sort of take us off track. But I've been to your office in the city, and you actually are. It's not a big office. It's probably a little bit bigger than the studio we're sitting in now at RTRFM. Mm. You sit in the same position that A.O. Neville the Devil sat at. What was it like the first time you went in there? Because I understand that, there was a smoking ceremony before you went in. There would have to be that. But what's it like going in there and sitting in that space?
Oh, look, I suppose it's one of, I guess it's ironic. We're taking back our trauma. But firstly, when I first went in there, it made me sick. I was physically ill. I couldn't fly the next day. I had to go to somewhere, and I can't recall where, but I couldn't fly because I was ill. So that's the impact that building would have on Aboriginal people in general, but more so people that were removed. And he featured in the Rabbit Proof Fence movie. Mm. You know, so he did his job well, and he did his best to breed out the colour, but you might recall if you saw Rabbit Proof Fence, if not, have a look again, because he used the colour card system, and he used the colour card on someone's back to see what colour they were to determine whether they'd go to an orphanage, Sister Kate's orphanage, which was not really an orphanage because everyone had parents, and determine which institution they would go to. So it was a colour card. I mean, how damning was that? So the movie itself is another educational thing, but we've come to realise now that, you know, truth-telling is really important. So we're going to have to say goodbye and go out with a song, I guess. This is Moorich Mag, Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM. It's been a pleasure having a yarn on Moorich Mag Thursday at 11 o'clock. Thanks for coming in, Jodie.
Thanks for having me, as always.
Yeah.